You're listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. In episode 11, our hosts, Mitch Glenn and Brad Wiegman, are interviewing Alabama fishing guide Lee Pitts. Pitts guides for crappie and bass on Neely Henry and Weiss Lake in North Alabama. An expert on fishing rods, Pitts goes in-depth on using the right loose rod for specific fishing techniques and species of fish. Tackle Time features Pico Lures minnow jig heads for soft plastic lures. And now, broadcasting from deep in the heart of the Ozarks, your hosts, Mitch Glenn, owner of Pico Lures and national sales manager for major fishing companies, and Brad Wiegman, an outdoor writer, fishing guide, photographer, and social media content manager. Together, your hosts will cover everything from fishing for crappie, bass, and other game fish to interviewing renowned fishing guides and pros on the hottest lakes and rivers. Fishing Guide Podcast is sponsored by Pico Lures, founded in 1933. Legendary Pico Lures has a complete line of fishing tackle for any angler and all game fish. Pico's famous for its Pico Perch, Side Shad, Pop, Little Pop, and its crankbaits are the hottest crankbaits with 25 color patterns and growing. Pico's jig heads, soft plastic lures, and marabou jigs will fill your buckets and live well full of game fish. Pico also has an exclusive line of bass fishing jig heads. Several of these Pico jig heads feature the Easy Keeper Coil system. And now, here are your hosts, Mitch and Brad.
Welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast Show. I'm here with my co-host, Mitch Glenn.
Hey, Brad. I've got us an Alabama boy today. Yeah. Happy to have Lee Pitts on the show.
Lee, how are things going down there in Alabama?
Man, we're doing good, doing great. Glad to be on the show today.
Man, I tell you what, it's hard getting hold of Lee Pitts because not only does he guide for crappie.
Well, he's always fishing.
Yeah. But he also guides for bass, too. Yeah. So we're going to get into that. But first, people need to know that in 2019, remember back, Lee, 2019, yep. June, okay. Neely okay. Henry. Does cash money, like maybe, you know, $10,000 sound good?
That helped out a little bit. I need a couple more of those.
Yeah.
So tell them a little bit about that. This is kind of the backdrop so they know that, I mean, you're a proficient crappie angler, but I mean, you can stroke bass too, can't you?
Well, that's what I tell them. I said, you know, hey, I make my money on my crappie fishing, but I still know how to catch a greenhead every now and then too. So, you know, it's one of those deals. Like I said, it keeps me busy, you know, with my crappie fishing in the spring and the fall, and then also my bass, you know, through the summer. And we do a lot of bass fishing too in the fall. So, you know, I swap gears a whole lot. You know, I got two different boats I keep rigged out. So when I get a call, I unhook from one hook to the other.
Right. And so, and actually you won on Neely Henry in June, and that month is actually coming up. So why don't you, you know, tell some people if you were going to give them some tips on catching fish in June, you know, not GPS coordinates, unless you want to mail them to me, you can. just text them to me. What advice, you know, what would you tell them to do?
You know, Neely Henry is a lake that is kind of been a sleeper lake for us. You know, all the locals know that it's a great, not only largemouth bass lake and a good crappie lake, but also we got those big Kentucky spots. We call them big Coosa spots there because they're mean. Right. I mean, you know, we've got the big four and a half pound spots there that people really look forward to coming and catching it and keying on just catching those type of fish. But it's one of those things that you've got that time of year. It's a little bit of a mix of everything. You can fish super, super shallow. And that's one of the things with the Coosa chain of lakes. You know, you got Weiss, Neely, Henry, Logan, Martin, Lay. You can fish any time of year there, December or June, you can fish knee-deep water and still be productive and catch fish, you know. So that's something that these fish, they're used to that shallow water. They like being in that shallow water. They're comfortable. So you've got several different options that you can use. You can rotate from flipping boat docks to flipping shallow grass to backing off with a DD-22 or, you know, some kind of big offshore jig and catch them deep out there. So you can do a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Tell them, so you guide for crappie and you guide for black bass. So typically if someone calls you and wants to go crappie fishing, take us through those steps.
You know, I have a lot of calls, and I kind of run a simple operation. I've got a lot of people that I like to have that one-on-one contact with my clients. I want to talk to them on the phone and us set this up. I've had a lot of companies call me and ask me, said, hey, we can take care of all your bookings for you and do this and that, and you just show up at whatever lake and this and that. That's not how I run my operation. I want to talk to people, kind of get the feel for what they're looking for, and I can tell them what to expect. You know, with fishing, you never can, you know, predict what Mother Nature is going to throw on you. You know, some days, of course, are better than others, but depending on what time of year it is, you know, we kick off our crappie season about that second week of January, and yeah, it's cold. January and February is cold here. We'll have some days that it's pretty nice, but we're still catching those fish. They know when it's time to start migrating and feeding up, and really we follow those crappie all the way through their whole spawning season. You know, we'll intercept them as they're coming out of the main lake trying to hit these creeks. We're doing a lot of long line trolling.
Uh-huh.
And then as the season progresses, you know, you're getting into that mid late March, they really start kind of holding on that. We got a lot of man-made structure out there, wood cover, Christmas trees, a lot of our flats and the backs of these bays are covered with stumps. So they've got so much cover, then you can kind of pinpoint, and we're casting jigs with floats on them, kind of working those shallow flats that way. And then once it rolls into spawning time, we're really, really getting on these boat docks, and that's where that dock shooting comes into play.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we just kind of, we adapt and follow what those fish are doing. When they come out of the main lake and start migrating towards the creeks, it's just we're trying to intercept them as they're getting back there to do their spring thing.
Of the three lakes you mentioned, which would you say is probably your go-to crappie lake?
Well, right now, both Neely Henry and Weiss. I mean, it's like I said, Neely is got several big backwater bays, got a lot of creeks that come into that these fish can jump out of that main river and start heading back towards the spawning flats, and they don't have to go a long way. You know, these fish can go 300 or 400 yards, and they've left their winter haunts. They've done their migration all the way to the spawning flats, do their thing, and come right back to that river. And, you know, you're looking at end of May, 1st of June, they're getting back out there on that river.
Right. They don't have a lot of traveling to do. Got everything
in
their backyard.
They can jump up there and do their thing and get right back out there and get in that deep water.
Yeah, and you talked about shooting docks there. Actually, we shot a video of you shooting docks on, I think, was it Grand Lake?
Somewhere. I think we were on Grand. It was either that or Fort Gibson. I can't remember which one it was. It was one of those two.
It's one of them. And so you were showing people how to shoot docks. You know that there's a certain talent to it. And so, but it besides having the right talent, I mean, you have to have the right gear. So what do you use to shoot docks with? You're not using like G. Loomis rods and
No. And that's one of the good things about this. You don't have to go break the bank to get the equipment needed to do this.
Right.
And what I'm using, I'm using the Lewes. You know, they with their reeling rod set up on this, they've got you covered pretty much on everything. If you're, and I told somebody the other day, I said, they got different price points wherever you want to be at, but if you want to go out there and for your bass fishing and for your more expensive reeling rods, they've got that. They've got your even their low end reels are great reels. They got great drag systems on them, and what I'm using a lot of their combos for their pan fishing. You got the Pro Series rods. I love the slab shakers. a lot of my trolling I do, but you can buy a reeling rod combo that is just right for shooting dogs and not have $80 in it, you know, $75-$80, and that's a reeling rod and everything. Wow. You know, a lot of them that I use that I keep on, you know, just in my boat just to have a lot of spare rods, you can spend $40 and you still got a great drag system, great feel. And that's one of the things I tell people, you don't want a real sluggish rod for this, because that crappie bite is not a real explosive bite. And I love a high-vis line. I'm using, you know, a vicious high-vis and 4 and 6 pound test, because a lot of times what I'm looking for is either that line just stops and lays flat, or it may just move just side to side, just a very, very subtle movement. And that's what I'm looking for. You might not feel that bite.
You said you like a green line or an orange line?
The yellow, the high-vis yellow. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that's for, I can see that better. I know I've got buddies of mine, they like that more of an orange. For me, in the stain water that usually I'm fishing, you know, we've got some clear water in some of our creeks that come in on both lakes, but the majority of the water that I'm fishing has got a little stain to it. And that high vis that I'm watching, even with a glare off the water, or if you got a little bit of wind, you can still really watch that line good.
Right.
And so shooting docks, can you have two people, two clients plus yourself?
Yeah. And what I've done, usually I've got a 20 foot aluminum boat that's extra wide, and I've got the double seat systems and the seat setups where if I'm shooting docks, you know, I'm running that, you know, with my Minn Kotas, I can sit back there, and with that remote control, I tell people, everybody asks me, they say, man, how do you like that Minn Kota? Are you loving it? I said, yeah, but it'll put about 30 pounds on you, because now I don't have to sit up there on that pedal. I can sit back here and drink Coca-Colas and eat candy bars, you know what I'm talking about.
You're probably more of a moon pie guy, aren't you?
Yeah, Lynn? No, man, pink snowballs. I am a pink snowball man, I'm telling you.
You know, there's no nutritional value.
Zero.
In a pink snowball.
Zero.
I think it even says it on the label.
Yeah, like, dude, if you're dying of hunger, don't eat this. Don't get something good.
The expiration date on them is measured in the half life of it too.
So, tell us a little bit about your bass fishing guide, and you're doing that on what lakes?
Both Neely Henry and Wash Lake.
Uh huh.
And so, you know, and a lot of the guys, like I said, I keep two different boats rigged out. I'm running a Falcon with my bass boat. And like I said, a lot of the guys, and plus I've got an Ultrex on it with a remote control. So I can put these guys just like they were experiencing a tournament bass fishing, where, you know, they're up there and I can sit back and run the trolling motor, but you got a guy up front and a guy in the back, and I just kind of get out of the way. Once I can tell them what we're looking for, and even when we're offshore, you know, when you're fishing grass beds or visible shallow wood cover, you know, everybody's got a good visual of that. They kind of get the idea of what you're looking for. But a whole lot of times, some of these guys hadn't experienced the offshore fishing yet,
right,
and know the feel for what you're looking at. And I watch their rod tips and their line. I can watch that bow and that line. If they're dragging a jig out there off those ledges and I see that line twitch, I said, you better set the hook. You got him. Like, no, I'm good. No, reel down. He's on there. You know,
well, I feel bad.
Your bobber's gone. He's gone.
There's no bobbers in bass fishing. Floating fly, remember the floating fly? Did you ever do that, Lee?
Yeah, yeah.
Did it just make you mad? Just mostly?
Well, and I was corrected on that one time. I was trying to explain to some guys. We were, I said, man, you know, watch cork on this. What? I said, watch cork. And he said, what are you talking about, cork? I said, well, your float. What are you talking about? And he said, no, that is a strike indicator. I was like, oh, my bad. You know, I didn't know.
Okay.
You learn something every day.
That sounds a lot more sophisticated that way, don't it?
You know what the difference, Lee, is? And Mitch, you know what the difference is between a bobber and an indicator?
Uh-uh.
I have my opinion, but I probably shouldn't put it on the air.
It's about $3.
Okay.
Mitch decided he's going to sell lures, but they're going to be called artificial lures. Yeah. And then that way he can charge two more dollars.
Right.
For them.
Man.
Is it true you also guide for bluegills?
Well, I've got some buddies of mine that they come down and we do some bluegill fishing. I've got some friends out of Atlanta and they come down. I don't fish on the Tennessee River waterways as much as I used to. Uh-huh. You know, when I have tournaments there, I'll go fish, and I still love to do crappie fishing on Tennessee River. But I don't get over there as much as I used to because I stay so busy on Weiss and Neely Henry. But uh-huh. I've got some guys out of Atlanta and some of the bigger cities around here close, and they've told me, said, Lee, man, you know, we grew up as kids brim fishing and shellcracker fishing and going out with red worms and you know, crickets and doing this and that. And they've got some younger kids that they're wanting to put the memories in those kids of the brim fishing and watching those floats and getting on a brim bed and, you know, learning how to smell for them and do this and that. But he says, you know, we want to go and we want to enjoy and let those kids have a good time and catch a bunch of fish and hoot and holler and have a good time. And then, hey, we pack up and head on back to Atlanta and we're done.
Wow. That's pretty good. So tell us a little bit. I know we broke away from the bass fishing, but we'll go back to a bass fishing. So if they show up, what did they need to bring? Did they have to bring their own rods, reels?
No. No.
What did they need to bring?
I tell them, I said, all you need to bring is what you want to eat and drink. If there's a chance of rain, bring your rain jacket. Uh-huh. And just get ready for a good fun day. Like I said, I can't always control what the fish do, but I can control that we're going to have a good time when we go out there. So I supply all the bait, tackle, and gear. And like I said, I try to keep a good selection of spinning gear plus bait casters. You know, I have a lot of people over the phone will talk, and I say, are you comfortable with a bait caster? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then we get out there, and they're like, ooh. I've never seen one of those. So I've learned to keep everything on the boat.
Yes, understandable, for sure. Tell us, so if they're going fishing, I know you go out of one marina for crappie fishing. Tell us a little bit about where they're going to meet you, because I know you meet at the marina there.
Right, yeah. A lot of times, like I said, there in Cedar Bluff, I'll go out of Little River Marina. Uh-huh. And really that's kind of a main lake type area. And I'll tell, no matter where the, you know, if they come in and stay the night, stay at one of our motels around there, I try to make it as comfortable for them as possible. If we're on fish downriver, I'll go to their motel and meet them. You know, they can follow me to a ramp down there. And you know enough about our Cedar Bluff center area. We're country people here, and we like it like that, you know. And it's, you know, a lot of times they will punch in the address of whatever ramp. I said, man, you know, you go on down 9 and where you see that big barn where those cows are right there, take that left. You know, I mean,
go to the car door, turn right, and you're there.
Honest to God, when I went to the marina to hook up with Lee, because we went out fishing down there, we went crappie fishing, and he said, go down the road till you see all those boats, and then you can go left. And I said, well, how will I know? He said, you'll know. That was the directions.
It's the end of the road when there's no more road.
You'll know. Hey. You'll know. And I tell you, at, you know, down on Neely Henry, too, they've got the city ramp there at, you know, Neely Henry right there. Mm-hmm. In Maine, downtown Gadsden, but there are so many other. If you're going to go downriver towards Canoe Creek and some of these places, they've got great facilities and boat ramps all over the lake that you can, I mean, and it's, you know, they're places that you don't have to worry about anything, too. They're safe places. They got a lot of traffic around them. And like I said, it's just a, we're kind of blessed with that, with Weiss and Neely. We're small country towns. Yep. Gadsden and Lake Neely Henry is a little more upscaled. They're the highfalutin cousin with us right there. You know, they've got more of the steakhouses and the nice restaurants and things. We got a lot of cotton fields, and you can see deer running around on whites a whole bunch. So I like that. Right. But it's a great lifestyle. You know, me and my wife, we live there on the lake and we hunt and fish, and it's just one of those things. I tell people, I say, be careful what you wish for, because I can remember as a kid and leaving college, and it was like, man, you know, I love being on the water. I love my hunting and fishing. One of these days, I'm going to figure out a way where I don't have to go to work on Monday morning when everybody else is leaving the lake. Right. And I'm like, be careful what you wish for, because sometimes it comes true on that. So.
Yeah, I think I can relate to that a little bit.
What's the limit for crappie? Because I know people are going to keep them. What's the limit on crappie?
Right.
And how about the cleaning? Do you clean them?
No, I don't. I used to, and it got where my cleaning skills are not up to par with some of the guys. most of the marinas there, they've got guys that live there close, and it's turned into a full-time job with them. You know, they kind of say, hey, I'll clean your fish for 50 cents or whatever, you know, a fish. And guys will come off the water and like, hey, man, that's a no-brainer. This guy right here, he can fillet them and bag them, and we can all sit up here and reflect on the day a little bit and cut up and tell some more fishing tales while he cleans these fish. So, you know, there's people there that can take care of your catch when you come in.
What's the limit on both of those reservoirs?
30 apiece, 30 a person.
Wow. On both of them?
On our crappie.
Yeah, on crappie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, that's pretty
30 apiece.
It's pretty liberal.
Yeah, it is.
So we've been, you know, a lot of the lakes, I think they've knocked down to 15 or 12 or something like that. But it's still, you know, we've got a great fishery, a lot of fish, and we're at a 10 inch limit on Weiss and a 9 inch limit on Neely Henry.
Really?
So, you know, it's just I think Weiss is the only lake that has the 10 inch limit. Around any of our lakes, everything else, all through the Coosa chain, is a 9 inch limit.
Wow.
Yeah, Weiss is the national. Yeah. What is it?
It's the home of the 4 pound crappie or something, isn't it?
It's a crappie capital of the world.
Right. Yeah, crappie capital of the world. Hey, you know what? Lee, in the back where we're sitting, we're doing our podcast, right behind us is Beaver Lake.
Yep.
And oh, wow.
So, it is now the home of crankbaits for crappie.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are doing that. I know that Mitch sent you a couple down there. Tell us a little bit. You have some plans on trying to test them out, aren't you?
I do, and that's one of the things, and I guess I appreciate you mentioning that. I was going to have a little secret, but now we're mentioning it, talking about it. It's something that on the Coosa chain, there's not, you know, Weiss, Neely, Henry, Logan, and on down, not a lot of guys have figured this out yet, you know. You know, it's something with the crankbait fishing and pulling and pushing crankbaits has really, really gotten big all over the country right now. And it's something that a lot of these fish hadn't seen that is, I think, is, and like I said, I got those crankbaits in midweek, right, and we've had some weather that's kept me off the water for my crappie. But I can't wait to get out there and see what I can do with them, because I really think it's going to open up. These fish hadn't seen that crankbait coming through there. They hadn't seen, you know, where I'm going to be able to put these and get in there to it. And I believe it's going to be a big fish catcher, too. So, you know, some of the guys that I know that are big
feel compelled to come down there and make sure that you're doing it right.
Yeah, yeah. That's what you need to do. Me and you and Brad, y'all come on down there and come see me. And that way we'll make sure I'm doing the right technique on that.
I heard you probably handle it, but
I tell you what, I haven't been there in a little while, North Alabama, and visit all the people that were down there. It's quite, I mean, you were talking about like the feel of the neighborhood, of how nice everyone is when you show up and stuff. And so when I was shooting, doing some photography work for a tourism association, North Alabama Tourism Association, I think that's the name of it.
Yeah.
When I was doing that, and taking some pictures. You know, I got the opportunity to, you know, stop and eat at a lot of places and stay at some bed and breakfasts and stuff around that area. So tell them, what is your favorite place to eat there?
You know, we've got a lot of places there. You know, Lanny's, that is a barbecue place right there in the middle of center, is good. But it's a treat for us when we go to Neely Henry and get the fish there. My wife will not let me. She's going to be at weigh-in when we go to a tournament or if I'm fishing at Neely, because she knows we got the top of the river restaurant is amazing there in Gadsden. You know, and they've got several of your Applebee's, Logan's and things like that. But that top of the river is more like a local chain, and the good, it's got great seafood, but their claim to fame is when you sit down before you even order, they have the 10 plates and the 10 big cups of slaw, the onions that are pickled onions, the fried pickles, fried green tomatoes, and all this that they just bring and set on the table for you so you can get ready to eat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So when you
no
leave there,
though, right?
No. It's all good. It's that good. You get your blood pumping type stuff.
So tell us, if people wanted to get in contact with you, what? How did they do that?
The best way, and like I said, they can look me up at Lee Pitts Outdoors. I've also got Lee Pitts Facebook. But the best way is to call me at area code 256-390-4145.
Okay, there it is. Lee, we appreciate you being on the show.
Guys, thank you so much. I always enjoy talking to you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for being here, man.
All right, let's go catch some more fish.
I'm ready.
Thanks, Lee.
Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures, famous for the Pico Perch, Pop, Little Pop, Side Shads, Deep Diving Crankbait, Square Bill Crankbaits, Bass Jig Heads, and a complete line of fishing tackle for crappie and other game fish.
Hey, for today's Tackle Time, let's talk about everybody's favorite thing to do in the spring, topwaters.
Love it.
Love it. Everybody loves watching one smash one on top. Well, today's tip, we're going to talk about an old bait with a new twist.
Okay.
This is the Pico Side Shad. Been around for a long, long time. Very unique bait. Different kind of design than you're going to see on anything else. But, Brad, you actually did this. I'll give you the credit for it. These were a prop-style bait.
Mm-hmm.
And Brad tried to figure out a way to make this even better, so he went to all the trouble in the world to just take the prop off. What a modification is that. Now, what we've got now is a bait that is the size, shape, profile of a bluegill.
Yep.
And lays on its side like one that's dying. Got that's an right. offset eye. And I have never in my life, Brad, I'll get my hats off to you, I've never seen a bait walk the dog without going anywhere. It's like putting your dog on a treadmill. This thing will go side to side. You can even turn it around backwards. I've seen you do it.
You practice.
Yep. This thing is the walkingest bait I've ever seen.
It's a unique action. That's what the deal is. It's something that's not that traditional. It's the walk. It walks, but it's sometimes it slides, and if you do it right, you can turn it all the way around.
Turn it all the way around, man.
If you pop it just right and your line's just right.
And it's quiet. It doesn't have knockers and rattles in it like some of the big noisy topwaters have. So it's kind of a stealth walker.
Right. Yep. Definitely, for sure.
So pick you up a Pico Pico Side Shad. They work pretty good with the prop on them, don't get me wrong, but try for a little trick. Take that prop off. Simply unscrew that hook in the back. Dump the prop off, screw it back in. You got your top-notch walking bait.
There you go. So, and Mitch will have those available without the props. He'll be selling them. I tell you what, we had Lee Pitts on the show. He guides, you know, on a couple of reservoirs down there in
Alabama.
And
what a great place to guide from.
Yeah, Crappie National.
Yeah.
What?
Crappie Capital of the World. That's it. Yep. So, Crappie Capital of the World. Some of the biggest spotted bass you'll ever see in your life down there.
So he guides for crappie, guides for bass. It's a great place to go down and visit, so you can stay overnight. It's pretty safe. It's a good place to be around, so we appreciated him being on the show. And
yep, thanks, Lee.
Yep, and for everyone else, thanks for listening to the Fishing Guide Podcast. Please subscribe, give us a rating, and leave a note if you want us to interview someone you think
got a show topic. Let us know.
Yep, for Mitch and myself, keep your hook sharp, lure in the water.